What if, in a world searching for signs of the divine, the greatest miracle was right in front of our face? What if Jewish history is the greatest argument for God? Rome, epicenter of an ancient empire which once ruled the world. In the ruins of this very non-Jewish site, one will find the image of a Jewish candelabra known as a menorah. It appears upon a structure called the Arch of Titus, well known to Jews because it bears upon it the most infamous image of Jewish dispersal and defeat in our history. But the story of Titus's arch is ultimately not of tragedy, but triumph and the fulfillment of an extraordinary prediction made by an ancient rabbi almost 2,000 years ago. In 66 CE, Jerusalem was a glorious city, crowned by its temple. Plated in gold, the historian Josephus writes that the temple shone with such radiance that those approaching Jerusalem needed to avert their eyes as if blinded by solar rays. The radiance without reflected the glow within, for inside the temple sanctuary, every day priests would light an exquisite golden candelabra, a menorah, as a sign of the divine presence that dwelled within. But Jerusalem was not free. It was, like much of the world, under Rome's iron grip. Pagan trespasses into the temple sparked a revolt, and the Romans were expelled from the city. In the year 69, political instability shook Rome, and the title of emperor passed to the general tasked with reconquering Jerusalem, Vespasian. Lacking an incredibly impressive resume and seeking stability for his family's rule, Vespasian left the reconquest of Jerusalem in the hands of his son Titus and ordered him to recapture it at all costs. What followed was a Roman assault, brutal in a way that was unknown in much of Roman history. Jerusalem was breached in 70 CE, and to this day, one can still find enormous slabs of stone strewn around the Temple Mount because of the Roman attack. Josephus describes how marauding Roman legionaries stormed into the temple, slaughtered thousands of civilians, and how the altar of the temple itself was piled with bodies and running with rivers of blood. The temple was burned to the ground. Titus stripped Jerusalem of all its treasures, brought them back to Rome, where he staged an extraordinary parade, surrounded by thousands and thousands of cheering Romans, with the legionaries bearing the temple treasures through the streets, hoisting the golden menorah above their heads. Vespasian and Titus proceeded to remake Rome in their own image, describing everywhere their conquest of Jerusalem. A Colosseum rose, proclaiming over its entrance that it was paid for with the gold of the temple. The destruction of Jerusalem was advertised at the Circus Maximus, attended regularly by hundreds of thousands of denizens of the city. And most famously, an architectural invention came into being called a triumphal arch, one which has known imitators throughout history, most famously the Arc de Triomphe. But the original was known as the Arch of Titus, and it bore on it a depiction of Titus's parade, centering on the golden menorah. Vespasian built a museum for the temple treasures, known as the Temple of Peace. And for the Jews, this was the ultimate indignity. Not only was their own sacred city utterly destroyed, but they needed to journey to Rome in order to see the most sacred objects of their faith. One rabbi who did journey to Rome is one of Judaism's most famous, Akiva, who, the Talmud recounts, could hear even from many miles away the hubbub of the Forum, which was then the center of civilization. Akiva returned to Jerusalem and once strolled past the Temple Mount with his colleagues, where they saw a fox roaming amongst the ruins. As his colleagues cried, seeing this as bitter evidence of the destruction and of Jewish defeat, Akiva instead laughed and explained to his astonished colleagues that one day all the power and the might that was Rome would itself lie in ruins. And at the same time, the prediction of the prophet Zechariah would be fulfilled, that grandfathers and grandmothers would sit one day again in the streets of Jerusalem, whose streets would be filled with playing children. Several centuries later, Rome was sacked by the Goths. The temple treasures were lost forever. The Colosseum itself fell into ruin. The Circus Maximus disappeared. But the arch and its menorah remained, preserved, restored by a church that saw in it evidence of Judaism's defeat and replacement. In Venice and Rome, a new word was invented, ghetto, in which Jews were shut up. But once a year, the Jews of Rome were taken out and forced to stand under the arch next to the menorah and swear fealty to Christendom. When the papal states were dismantled and the ghettos opened, the Jews of Rome maintained the tradition never ever to walk under the arch, thereby signaling their emotional rejection of all that it proclaimed. In the 1940s, the greatest destruction since that of Titus swept world Jewry, the Holocaust. And only several years after that, in 1947, the United Nations voted to approve the partition plan and allow a Jewish state to come into being. And suddenly, upon news of that vote, in Rome, hundreds, thousands of Jews, as if by instinct, gathered at the arch, Zionist flags flying, Jews who were displaced persons, Jews who only recently had been in concentration camps. And suddenly, as one, they all walked under the arch, but in the reverse direction than that taken by Titus upon his triumphal entry into the city, thereby signaling with their Zionist flags the reversal of what Rome had wrought. A Jewish state came into being and chose as its seal the menorah, exactly as it was depicted on the Arch of Titus. 19 years after that, Israeli forces entered the old city of Jerusalem, and a Jewish flag flew from the locus of Jewish aspirations and the Temple Mount for the first time since Titus's destruction. Truly, what Rabbi Akiva predicted almost 2,000 years ago, at a time when such a prediction would have appeared insane, that all the might and glory of Rome would disappear, his prediction has come true in our time. Rome is no more. There are Romance languages, but no one speaks Latin today. The glory and the might of the Forum that Akiva heard is now an eerie silence. Meanwhile, exactly as Akiva predicted, Jerusalem is rebuilt. Its streets are filled with children playing. The hubbub of their joyous voices is heard, and their grandfathers and grandmothers sit on benches nearby and look lovingly upon them. How do we understand this? How can what Rabbi Akiva predicted have actually come true before our very eyes? In Jerusalem, one witnesses the miracle of Jewish history and the vindication of Akiva's faith. But if one goes to Rome and stands in the midst of what was once the mightiest place on earth and ponders a menorah, one will, in that very non-Jewish place, suddenly find the case for God.